If it's time to refinance, talk to BOQ. Visit boq.com.au/better.
Hello, welcome to the catch-up. Had a session between the sheets with Robin Bailey today. How many sexual partners is okay or normal, I guess?
Yeah, basically we learned that whoever took the survey and whoever they asked were lying in all ways, shape, or form.
Mern and I were above average. We never got to you.
No, isn't that good? When I'm the keeper of the information, I just can keep that ball rolling.
Okay. I stopped counting in 1990.
And
I was in my 40s then.
Mm-hmm. I was like a scoreboard at the cricket. It didn't go around the triple figure, so I just gave up then.
I was cricket, yeah. I'd make fours.
Raise the bat.
Fives.
We had Tales from the Funeral Parlour, which I really enjoyed.
It'd be a weekly segment, actually.
I think it's a great weekly segment. I also read from Donald Trump's book, Did You Learn Anything?
Wicked how he used to bone all his mates' missuses.
Mm.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
It's not right.
Who would you rather? Robin, I know you're the keeper of stats, but I'd rather, this is a real question, Barnaby Joyce or Donald Trump if you had to pause.
Oh, Sophie's choice.
Oh, Sophie's. You'd have to take Barnaby, wouldn't you?
If Donald put an Akuba on, I'd go, ooh, is that you, Barnaby?
I would say that Donald is more experienced.
Oh.
It does not make it better.
Wow. All right. What's he more experienced at?
I think
Comb
he's bedded a lot
well,
more women.
Well, Robin had to answer the question, Marto, so you should too. Who would you do it with, Donald or Barnaby? What an unholy union.
Yeah, you'd give it away, mate. You'd give it away. You'd give it away.
Have
you'd
we take finished the fifth. There? That's enough.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking.
You got an answer there, Brenda?
Barnaby, enjoy the catch-up.
Warning, the following segment contains serious sexy talk and music from Kenny G.
Between the Sheets with Robin Bailey.
Oh, guys, you'll be pleased to know I found a whole lot of very interesting sex stats from a live science website. So these are all true.
Is it about length?
Well, it could be. Let's start
with sex stats.
Do you? Okay, let's...
You know what? I reckon... The humble human isn't as good as sex at sex as they think. We're all pretty average. We're about a 6 out of 10.
That's so nice of you to say, because we've got to lower our expectations.
We do. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves. I mean, I have really in recent years gone down. I'm an 8.5 out of 10 at the moment. And, you know, you've got to just... let it go.
You are only saying that because your wife is not listening and you're in Adelaide.
How do you
I'm
know?
Not sure she'd give you an 8.5. I'm just saying that by the look on your face.
That's self-scored. That's not partner
scored. Exactly right. Okay, how many partners have you had? That's the sex stat I've got in front of me. How many partners do men have? How many partners do women have? Okay. Let me just preface this conversation by saying that men lie up and women lie down.
They sure do. Yeah.
Okay,
when I'm around.
what's normal?
Can I ask you? Can I ask you for a clarification?
Yes.
What's a partner?
What if you? Is it freebies or does the sex workers count as well?
I wasn't expecting
valid
that one.
Question.
I would suggest that it's anyone that you have had sexual relations with.
Well, no. Tell me what sexual relations are. Well, is it Bill Clinton is a... That's not... Or like, was Monica Lewinsky a...
I think there's penetration.
Yeah, I think that's where we're going. Let's go with that. Let's go with that. Okay. Thank you for the accented way of putting it.
Adults,
were men and women were surveyed between the ages of 20 and 59. And then they averaged out these 5,000 people they asked. Women have, on average, guess how many partners?
That they're saying.
I'd say lie at about 10.
8.
4.
Wow.
4? Boring.
I don't think that's right.
Throw it around a bit.
I think...
Well, except for my daughter, sorry.
I think wife. Australian women would be upping those statistics, just I'm guessing. Anyway...
I'll tell you what, can I make a comment? As a person who toured there quite often, I reckon New Zealand girls are way up.
You have said that in the past.
They're enthusiastic.
You love an enthusiastic partner.
Who do you reckon are the most enthusiastic Australian girls?
What do you mean, which state?
Which state?
Oh, Queenslanders used to having their clothes off.
Mm.
Oh, no, maybe Tasmanians keeping themselves warm.
Yeah.
They're just happy to see the biggest friendly.
Just happy for new, for fresh meat.
Oh, my God.
Someone they're not related
well,
to.
Well, have you got a theory?
Oh. Yeah, I reckon the friendliest women in Australia are in Adelaide.
Is that just because you're there now?
They're the Kiwis of Australia, aren't they?
I'm running some tests.
Oh, you're so full of it. Okay, do you want to hear what the average number for men is? Again, this is rubbish.
170.
I always said 46.
Oh, would you?
Oh, is that low? Not
could you name them all?
Oh, no.
Your own number, Greg. We're God, going
has anyone ever done that?
Well, I'd sat down and named them.
Sat down and written out your history.
I have tried.
Oh, have you?
Yeah,
God,
I have tried.
That's daunting.
Let's just say it was more than four. It required two.
I had a book once, but I threw it away. It was just too.
Okay, grim. How many for men then? Because this is clearly wrong and a lot of people are lying.
I'd say 100.
Oh, man. Marta, right. You said 46.
I'm going to say 30.
Brendo?
Oh, I'm just taken surprise by 100. maybe 40? 40?
No. Apparently, according to this survey, 7.
Oh.
That's rubbish.
We do lie up.
That is God. Rubbish.
If that's lying up, that is so sad. I've had 3 sexual partners, but I'm going to lie up. 7?
What kind of a lie is that? Always got my ears open for funeral parlour stories.
You love a good funeral parlour story because you've got
and
some.
I'm into them.
Oh, yeah. Well, my sister had Logan Funerals 32 years and I worked there for a few years when I was a young man. It was a great time of life, I reckon.
Been yellow carded for saying stiffy once today, so this is actually legit.
Mate, now you've done it. That was at 5:45 this morning.
That's legitimate, though.
You know what you've done.
You know what they call a dead body. Yeah, funeral story on the news last night. Now, it's not far away from where my sister, she sold out of it about 2 or 3 years ago, Logan Funeral, so it's not far away. So I went, whoa, could have been potential opposition. 8 Mile Plains, all right, there's a little Catholic church there. And they're running out, they haven't got much money. I would have thought the Catholic Church has got a bit of dough. But anyway, let's push past that. So the priest there, he has decided the only way he can keep the parish and the church going is he's got a bit of land up the back, start a funeral parlour at Chester Street, 8 Mile Plains. The locals, though.
Not happy.
They need someone like me to tell them it's fun. Inside the funeral parlour because they're right down on the whole idea and they, what?
Okay, give me the funnest thing that happens in a funeral parlour.
All right, now do you know my level of grooming, I would say? I used to have to shave them, the
Did
bodies.
You?
Now that's interesting. You know how they always go, your beard keeps growing for a few days after
Does
you
do?
No, well that's not right. Your face actually goes inwards because it dries out. And then the hair sticks through. And do you know when you shave, you can trust someone like me to shave you if you're dead because you don't bleed.
Of course you do. Why? So where's the blood go? Well, the blood comes out the orifices, doesn't it?
Oh hello.
7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that's right.
God, that's you can't unseemly.
Come on, that's horrific.
Before I give you any more.
What do you need to set up a funeral parlour? You obviously need a couple of fridges.
Panel van. We used to have a panel van.
A fridge and a panel van.
You got with grass,
like
fake grass.
Yeah.
It was one day I had to go to Gundawindi. I've told you that story. But anyway, when the cop pulled me up and I was doing 140 and I had the panel van, because they're not signed, you don't want to be driving around with, you know, when you're picking up from hospitals and stuff with Logan Funerals.
Marto's meat wagon.
You just want to keep it low key. And the cop didn't believe me that I had the, that's why I was going fast. I said, I've got to get it back unrefrigerated and I've got a few hours to drive. They did throw some dry ice in there. Anyway, that's another story. The cop wanted to have a look because he didn't believe that I had a body in the back.
And
he
went, did you show him?
Yeah, and he knew the bloke. It was this unseemly whole thing. Hold on. Let's get back to the story I was starting with. Don't get me started on funeral parlour
stories. I love talking about funeral parlours with you. You have information that
From the age of 12, my sister used to come home on Wednesday nights with her and the hubby. Used to come home for dinner on Wednesday nights and I'd sit there just spellbound. They'd tell these great stories and then... What an opportunity when I turned 18, they said, do you want a job? And I went, yeah, baby.
Did you freak out?
Not really, because I was doing anatomy at uni, so I was sort of used to dead bodies.
Oh, wow.
But sometimes there's some sad tales. Where did I start the story? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Catholic Church want to open a morgue.
Oh, yeah, the people that had a protest yesterday, and I thought some of them were a little bit narrow-minded.
I know you will not find one person living on our street and the surrounding streets that support this.
Real estate values in this area will drop.
The sight and smell of a funeral parlour from their kitchen windows.
And I think it's just a money-making operation for the Catholic Church.
Imagine just growing up thinking that this is normal, seeing death every day.
They don't see death. They drive in. The paddle van drives in. You put them in the fridge. So you got to have a fridge. Did I mention that? Yeah.
And you got to have a paddle van.
Yeah. And sometimes.
That's all. That's all.
All right. I better stop.
Do you need an embalming table?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that's special skill, the embalming one.
Yeah, but what we did,
you know what I could do? You know, my brother-in-law taught me and sister taught me to do. Putting, if people say, oh, should I talk about this? Yeah, it's okay. Putting a suit on. Like they wanted a special suit on their uncle or father or whatever.
Yeah.
How do you reckon you do that?
Carefully.
Yeah, well, apart from that, you cut the back of the suit and then it's just only the front because no one turns it
half
over.
Suit.
Half suit.
Save money.
Oh. All right.
You're fascinating. Seriously, we could have this chat for hours.
That would just be bad if your dad flipped out of the coffin and he's the arse is cut out of his trousers. You'd be thinking, what's going on at that funeral home? The Catholic Church!
CSI Motto.
Not to be confused with the Big Breakfast Crime Squad, this is a personal issue that I need solved, all right? I need somebody who knows better than I can and I can't find out. The other day,
yes,
big surf, sun went up the coast, all right, to chase the surf. I think they surfed at Noosa in the end, driving his Subaru Liberty
with all the stickers on the side.
About 400 stickers that he ordered through the internet from China. Mm. And it is a copper tractor, and I told him that. I fixed up his muffler where it was making noise like a V8 supercar. So I fixed that up while he was away.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, you're just going to attract the cops. And fair enough, the cops pulled him up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There was an issue and he said, Dad, I'll wear this one. He's, you know, the stick on the magnetic P plates. So he's still on his red piece. Caught doing 100 Ks. It flew off. He didn't even know. That's what grabbed the cop. Okay? So stopped him. You know,
because a normal plated driver would not be driving around in a Suzuki with stickers.
With stickers. I have driven his car. Anyway.
I know. I've seen that car, and it makes you look and look twice and think, I think there's a stoner in there.
Yeah.
That's what it makes you think.
With three surfboards on top. Okay. So he said, Dad,
with there's been a bit in the back.
Yeah. There's been a bit of trouble. And I went, yeah, what happened? So that cost him 200 and a point, okay? No, one sticker had blown off. And he said, I didn't even know it wasn't there. All right, that's one. He said, but Dad, I also got fined. I'm just reading it now. $252. I said, what's that one? He said, Dad, this is incredible. And here's my question. He had three surfboards on. He had two Oki straps on the front going over once, twice, so the equivalent of four straps at the front, right, on the front bar, three surfboards on top of the roof, okay? Four same two Oki straps on, and brand new Okis because I'd bought them at Christmas time, so they're virtually brand new. So four straps are holding surfboard down front and back. He has been pulled up with failing to ensure load on private light vehicle complies with requirements. Since when can you not hold a surfboard down with Oki straps? $252. I said I'll help him fight that because I think this is wrong.
Well, what did the police say?
That was it. You can't use Oki straps anymore.
What are you meant to use? Rope or
rubber? Think you need those ratchet strap things, but they're not as good at holding things down. Is there anyone? This is the investigation. They must have changed the rule or something or other, or is this cop in the wrong? Because over the top cops are a thing.
So are you saying to me that Oki straps are no longer a viable way of holding down anything on a car?
I'm looking now on my screen at the fine that he sent me that they gave him on Bruce Highway the other day at 8:29 a.m. failing to ensure load on private life. It's an Oki strap. What do you think? It's one of the greatest inventions of the 20th century.
And also, I would have thought that the qualification for holding a load down is the load's still on the car.
That's right. Know? One of the surfboards, well, he borrowed my Mal, that's $1,000. His two boards, him and his mate's boards, they're probably $600 each. So they don't want $2,200 worth of surfboards flying anyway because they don't want to lose. They love their surfboards.
They probably care about them more.
We can branch off from the Big Breakfast Crime Squad and start a legal company. Bailey Martin Mooney Legal Company. I walk in there like Groucho Marx with a cigar.
All right.
Your Honour, my client is innocent.
All right. I'd love Arky can we strap. Do that? I'd rather you come as the Prime Minister if we're going to defend this in court. But I want to know, is there
clearly
any
clearly his load wasn't lost. Have you dropped your load? There was no load lost.
CSI Motto.
Everyone's smarter than we are, and I've got a problem. My son got picked up the other day on the Bruce Highway, failing to ensure load on private light vehicle complies with requirements. He shot a video because I said, mate, I want some photos and that. We're going to fight this because I want a building site when he rang me. And I said, no, I'll fight. This is nonsense. Two hockey straps on the front the bar, two hockey straps on the back roof rack bar, holding his three surfboards down. Mm-hmm. And it did not move at all. There was not a centimetre of movement at all, and the cops have pinned him for $252. Mm. What is going on in this world? Over the top cops.
Okay, well, you want to find out what the actual legal requirements are, and Craig of Parkridge, what do you know?
He's going to lose because hockey straps have no load requirement strength, so they haven't got load rating. So anything that ties anything onto a vehicle has to have a load rating.
When did we stop? It obviously wasn't publicised. Are you telling me you can't hold on to? I can understand fridges and a dryer or a washing machine. Yes, you can't hold them down with an hockey strap. It's a surfboard.
Doesn't matter. It's a deadly item when it flies off a vehicle, and anything that can come off a vehicle is considered a deadly item and will kill someone if it hits them in the highway, and it has to be load rated to retire.
I've heard of surfboards coming off cars, and it is wicked, but these weren't coming off. These were properly tied down with brand new hockey. Craig, you're a bit of an authority. How do you know this?
I've driven a truck for 15 years, man, and we can't even use a rope anymore.
You can't use ropes.
Wow.
So when did this all change? When did hockey straps go out? 1978?
Maybe.
It's been about 6-7 years. You can't use them.
Okay.
Right. For anything.
Well, hang on. Let's find out more about what you can use. Paul of Launton, what is the legal requirement?
Yes, I'm with Craig. You can't. Yeah, the Telstra rope that all tradies use.
Yeah, the blue and yellow.
Yeah, made it 8 millimetres thick. The minimum rope you could ever use was 10 millimetres, purposely done by Telstra. So you couldn't use that as a load restraint.
Oh, my God.
Again, it doesn't have a load rating.
Let's just talk ropes. Are you guys aware of this blue and yellow rope? It's very popular. The Telstra use it once. Am I correct, Paul? And they use it to pull cables through the underground conduit. They use it once only.
Everyone's got it.
Everyone's got it. I used to always tie loads down with it. So it's not legal to tie loads. Hold on, we're finding something out here.
Okay, so
there's a lot of illegal activity going on.
Jason of Jimboomba, you work in transport. What do you know?
All the other guys are exactly right. That must have a load restraint on it, be of Australian standards. Even with the ratchet strap, you can't have a twist in it. That you can get booked for that as well.
Oh, my God.
Because we do trucks all the time, mate. Some of the fines, if a pallet moves on a truck, even though it's contained, gets fined.
If a pallet moves slightly on a truck?
Yep, if there's a ratchet strap over it and it's twisted, fine.
So what good are your hockey straps then?
That's why you see all these utes now that have the
the nets.
The nets and that over, because it's illegal. Anything that could blow out of that ute, fine.
I tell you what, off the back of this, people should go onto YouTube and look for loads on Indian motorcycles.
Exactly.
Some of those are sweet.
Holding
rides.
Two pigs and a door. He's our man with all the Hollywood
goss. It's Bobby Sweetman. Oh, Bobby, hello.
Hello, Bobby. Hello, Moon Man. And you too, Brendo.
Where are you right now, in the Hollywood Hills?
Well, right up in the Hollywood Hills in my palatial yellow marble palatial mansion. I'm just looking down on the Story Bridge. Oh, yes, and the William Jolly as well. I love it, Brisbane. I can see you.
Okay, Shrekman, everyone's waiting for your words. But Sarah Jessica Parker, so popular, has got a new show, and it looks like it's a sizzler in terms of sexiness.
HBO's divorce, and I tell you, old Horseface has really got the cloppers up under the couch. She's loaded. Just makes me wonder, where's Inspector Gadget? Yeah, where's Ferris Bueller? Come on, Broderick, where are you, mate? It's catastrophic. Have a handful of oats now.
Have you got anything to say about Jeffrey Rush?
Oh, well, Jeffrey's in the middle of a defamation case, so all I can say about Jeffrey is...
That
says it all. Yeah.
Okay. What about the Queen? She went to a, incredibly a fashion parade. She's in her 90s.
The Queen, I tell you what, tell you what, finally she's gone to a fashion parade. Those coats and those hats and bags, darling. Get some hessian and some sticks in your hair. Then I like the supermodels at the haute couture. Well, wouldn't mind seeing her in something sheer, too. I bet she's got some lovely pins, the old queen. Talking about horses, settle that one up for me.
Oh, shake, man.
I don't think anyone's ever seen the queen's legs, to be honest.
I bet Prince Philip has.
Bobby, hey, all right. Anything else for us, Bob?
No, just a bit of this.
You can see, you can see why we get him on. He's our man with all the Hollywood goss.
It's Bobby Shriekman. Cherry Bar in Melbourne is taking the long overdue step, I reckon, of banning phones at live performances.
Okay, so what is the Cherry Bar? It's a place for comedy or just music?
It's a music venue, strictly music venue. It's quite iconic in Melbourne. It's in ACDC Lane, and as the name suggests, it's all about Australian iconic music. And the owners of Cherry Bar want people to live in the moment.
They don't want
them to film bands because not only does it distract the band, but it also interferes with the person standing behind you because you're holding your phone up and people are getting distracted by it. Plus, they just want people to be able to go into a venue and put their phones down, stop selfieing, stop putting something between you and the band, but most importantly, for respect for other patrons. And I think this is so long overdue.
How are they doing it? How do you...
Well, security will go around and just tell people to put their phones down. Right. And if they don't, they'll kick them out. And I think that it should be done at all music at concerts. Because now they do the thing, hold your phone up, and everyone's waving their phone. I'm just so sick of phones being in every part of our life. And why can't you just enjoy it? If I see someone filming me in the audience, I'll stop and I'll say, put your phone away. You know, get into it.
Okay, so the Eagles did this at the Brisbane Entertainment Centre when they toured, and it caused a fair bit of controversy. I'm going to just play devil's advocate here and say that this is the 21st century. This is how we live our lives. Our phones are an extension of ourselves. And I'll use, for example, the Roger Waters, the Pink Floyd guy. You know who I'm talking about?
He was in
and he played two shows. And after looking at all of the stuff that people had posted on Facebook from the first show, yeah. I went, oh, my God, I need to go see this guy. So there is this whole premise. Just because people said it was the best thing they'd ever seen, that the light show looked fantastic. And so I think also that phones are now a part of the way that we do concerts. And if you pay for the ticket, I think that you do have a right.
You both got a good point there.
To be able to have some sort of record that you can then enjoy afterwards.
What about I think that a venue can be able to say, though, you put your phone away for the respect of the band and the other patrons. Commit the moment to memory and stop having your phone out at every moment.
But if every single person has got their phone, doesn't that say to you that that is the way of the world now and that that's how people want to be?
All right, what about if you did it at live football games and things like that when all these companies have paid a lot of money to own the broadcasting rights? Should you be allowed to film those sort of things?
Yeah, and people do, but they don't as much as they do with concerts.
Well, that's an interesting question. No, it's at concerts that they want to grab, you know, a little bit of their favourite star playing the guitar or having a sing or whatever. But it really does interfere with other people's experience. And I think
if you're holding your phone and filming, you're not watching anyway. You're not watching the concert properly.
Yeah,
and you're
going to
go away
choice.
And then watch that little bit again some other time.
Yeah, and relive it and enjoy it again and again.
But it's the fact that if someone was in front of me with their phone up, that would really annoy me. So I'm saying no phones at live music venues. I think it's time and good on the Cherry Bar.
All right, let's crack this wide open.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Phones should be banned from live music events, shall we say, just music events.
And I've come along to see Silverchair. Mate, I don't want to watch them through your phone, so put your phone down, okay?
Is that the biggest worry, or is it sharing that and therefore their copyright of any of their material gets sold on?
Well, some bands are starting to respond to that too and asking people to put their phones down and refusing to play unless the phones are down. But I don't want it to interfere with my experience.
Yeah, but that is until people stop buying tickets because they can't have a photographic evidence that they were at somewhere. Like, I completely understand that you're saying that it changes the experience, but we are in the 21st century, and how much are Facebook filled with if a particular band is in town, everyone's going, yeah, you betcha. And it's about the blip in their social calendar to say, I was there. That's what phones are about now.
I'm not angry with you, Robin. I'm just disappointed. You know,
I don't like to see Mum and Dad fight. Now, Moon, can I just ask, what about you and your comedian mates? Because I've known there are a couple of comedians who tell the same gag on a different night, okay?
Yeah.
What about if people record it and play it on Facebook or Instagram? You know, one of the great, like yourself, if you do a gag and they play it and you were going to use that again next week and in the Brisbane Comedy Festival, the Sydney Comedy Festival, the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and it's already been told.
Well, that's it. Once the gag's, you know, public domain, it's gone. But
it outs
a good
lazy
gag can last for years and years.
Yeah, right.
Andrew of Beaudesert.
Lazy comedians.
What do you reckon?
I'm the cat in the middle of the paddock, mate. Mooney's right, and I agree with you too, Robin. But the best way to solve this problem, if you want to record an event, buy a GoPro, stick it on your head, win-win. Go home and edit it, watch it, put it on Facebook.
Okay.
No phones.
Yes, except I'm not.
You look like a bit of a dick, though.
You look like a dick and you can't see what you're getting.
Well, you look like the same sort of dick when you're holding your phone in the air and not looking, don't you?
Oh, no, we'll see. Now, GoPros now, the Hero 5s, they've got a screen on it, same as a mobile, so you can see what you're filming, can't you, Andrew?
Yes, but if you stick it, you know, you get harnesses for you, you can stick it on your head.
Yep. Well, maybe on your chest so it's not sticking up over in my eyesight.
Kate of Logan, what do you think about phones at events and venues?
Well, I have to agree with you. I'm going to the Queen concert, and if I can capture Brian May ripping out a guitar solo or Roger Taylor doing a drum solo, then I'm going to record it so I can view it later.
Okay. Thank you, Kate.
But wouldn't it already be on YouTube somewhere?
Yeah, by me posting it, hopefully.
There you go. Boom.
Kate, can I ask you this? Who's the singer of Queen at the moment?
Well, unfortunately, we've got a ring-in. And
he's right.
Not quite as good as Freddie.
Hey, do you meet Adam Lambert? He's pretty good.
I do. He is, but he's no Freddie. I saw Queen last time they were here with Adam Lambert, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Hence, that's why I'm going again this time.
Very good. Okay.
Well, I can imagine. Don't film it.
I can imagine all the building sites. Macca, turn that drop saw off. They're having a Queen discussion on Triple M.
Brooke of Tenamira, what do you think about phones at live events?
Oh, I think they should be banned, and people should share from the banned social media site. So everyone gets to live in the moment because they've got the social media information from the band's site, and everyone's got no phones holding up in the air.
Is this the equivalent of movie piracy? Like, you're stealing from the artist, aren't you?
Not if they put it on their Facebook page or Twitter page or anything. You're just sharing that, and that means that you can live in the moment because you can say, I was there.
Yeah, that's right. Go home, download the set list and try and remember each song as it was played.
Absolutely. I think a few people have been stitched up by phones at concerts. 75% of people saying they should be banned, Robin.
Good luck.
Okay. They won't be, but good luck.
In your face, Bailey.
No, right back at you.
No one likes a sore winner. Brisbane Triple M Big Breakfast.
Okay, I got to declare my hand here because my name is spelt slightly unusually. It's Robin as opposed to Robyn because my parents were English and I was the more English version, and in Australia they use a Y.
Do you get angry if people get it wrong?
I don't get angry, but it's just frustrating because you spend your entire life spelling your name. So I do notice when there are unusual spellings for people's names, and it seems to be coming more and more a thing. So I noticed last week, even though the baby was born last year, Nate Miles and Tessa James, their name of their child, their son, has finally been released. Now, the name Saint has become quite popular since Kim Kardashian and Kanye West named their son Saint.
How did they?
And they spelt it S-A-I-N-T. However,
isn't that the way you spell it?
Nate Miles and Tessa James have spelt it S-A-Y-N-T.
Oh, no.
And, you know, it's still Saint, and I'm sure the kid is gorgeous. I just find when you do that, it drives me insane. I don't know why, but it really drives me bonkers. Like Jared, for example. How many millions of ways are there to spell Jared? And I saw one in the paper, a young kid.
Should be an OD, shouldn't it? Not an ED.
Or an Y. So Jared Haynes is J-A-R-R-Y-D.
Is it a double R always?
Well, not Jared. Necessarily. Yeah,
my brother's double R-A-D, so.
Jared.
Yeah.
What? And there was one in the paper last week, and I saw that it was pronounced Jared, but it was J-A-Y-R-O-D.
That's not J-Rod.
J-Rod.
J-A-R-Y-D?
Yeah, well, J-R-O-D. I don't know.
It should be J-A-R-R-O-D. That's Jared.
Can I go back to the Saint one? You're saying it's S-A-Y-N-T. Mm. So are you sure they're saying that Saint?
Well, how else would you say it?
Well, you know how didn't is D-I-D-N-T. N-T is a shortening of didn't. Not. So say not, it's a shortening of Saint.
Oh, don't.
Well,
that's
how do you know?
Terrible.
Have you heard Nate Miles say the name?
No. And they've been very secretive about it. It was only released last week and the baby was born in December.
Let's talk about Nate Miles, the bloke who I call toddler head, because he's a human. Yeah, toddlers' heads are always really big. I'm not saying the baby will have
no
a toddler.
No one knows.
Head.
We haven't seen it.
What's Nate Miles most famous for?
Defecating in a hallway.
That is correct. Thank you, Brendo. How's he going to go changing nappies if he couldn't even get himself sorted out that night in the hotel? Oh, really? That's more important than the night.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Far be it from me to talk about Nate Miles and his defecating in a hallway.
Right. Probably shouldn't have gone down that alley.
No, he didn't need to.
But that's what he's most famous for.
It's always fun to remember it.
Hey, can I talk about something? I don't know whether he's all that popular. Minister for Home Affairs. Quiz question. Who is it?
Peter Dutton.
Oh, good one. He, of course, is the member for a lot of people here in Brisbane. He's out around Pine Rivers, whatever that big electorate is out there.
Mm-hmm.
We've had him on the show. He was pretty friendly last year.
You liked him then? You liked him to his face? You like him behind his back? That's always a good start.
You know what I like? I like the hard stance he's taking on sending convicted criminals home after they've gotten out of jail. He's done it for pedophiles, for rapists, for those one-punch merchants, for murderers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking a personal involvement. You know that Cole Miller, the water polo player, got killed in the valley about 18 months, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
As soon as he got out of jail, bang, straight home to New Zealand. That kid Kiwi who came out of court laughing about a month ago.
Taking selfies of himself.
That's the one after he punched the guy down the Gold Coast. I thought that kid was dead when he hit the ground.
Yeah.
Just blindsided him.
Hit a kid on schoolies like
this is the stuff that
too.
Robin's sons, my son, when they go out, they're talking to somebody and they just could get hit with people without even looking. It really sickens me. And I love the comments that Peter Dutton made the other day.
If you come into our country in no different a way, if you're invited into somebody's home, you don't start assaulting the residents of that house, you don't start assaulting Australian citizens. And if you do, you show them the door. And that's what we've done in a record number of cases.
I love the way we welcome everybody from around the world to Australia. I love that. But if you're going to play up, you can get stuff.
So now it's time for Big Breakfast border security. We are going to march a few people straight out the door today. Show them the door of the studio.
Have you got people in mind or is it just a random thing?
It's Barnaby.
Get him back to New Zealand.
Yeah, he's got to go back to New Zealand.
I wouldn't mind Russell Crowe following him. What about Russell Crowe?
Hey, hold on. Can I just...
Yeah, no worries, man.
Sorry.
Listen, mate, I've contributed a lot to this country. Oh, I sit on the end of the pier at Woolloomooloo with me cheese and crackers and have a couple of darts, and I've contributed to your film industry, Marto. Very disappointed.
Okay, you shouldn't have said that. You know he hangs around the studio. Why would you say it when you know he's there?
Yes.
Well, you're just trying to fire me up, are you?
Is Boy George back on The Voice? Can he go home?
Oh, boy George. Come on.
Is that enough?
Are we going to launch into anybody who needs to be deported?
1-3-3-5-3.
You have to have a good reason, okay? Just not people you don't like.
I don't know about that.
Oh, okay. Anyone.
Actually, I know he's connected with Russ, but Sam Burgess, the whole Burgesses, they can bugger off.
See you, mate.
Hey, see you.
Hold on. No, hold on.
No, shut up, Russ.
No, Russ, it's my turn to speak. I reckon any horse trainer that sticks a tube up his horse's nose that goes down into his stomach to give it a bicarbonate milkshake, out. Gone.
But what about if they're Australian? Where are you deporting them to?
The
Tasmania, I know.
The comedy colony's gone from Van Diemen's land.
See, they've copped it this week, Tasmania. Who do you want to see deported and why? They don't have to have done anything wrong. You can just simply not like them.
Is Rolf Harris living here?
No.
Oh, we already deported him.
Yeah. As soon as he comes back, see you, mate.
There you go. Mark Nicholas and Kevin Peterson. Can Peter Dutton step in and get rid of those two peanuts before the world becomes any older? Mark Nicholas, the guy who heads Channel 9, the English cricket guy.
Oh, okay. What about that tall bloke? That's the Peterson guy.
Yeah, he's South African English. Like, as if we haven't got enough former cricketers in Australia.
Okay, fair.
Come on, Pete, step in.
Steve of Moggle, who are you putting forward?
Yeah, I've got another English cricketer for you, Marto. Australian Ninja Warrior sub-host, Freddie Flintoff. He's a dead set tool. Yeah. And I need subtitles whenever he speaks.
Why is he here? Like, I think they actually brought him in for it.
Yeah, they did.
There was no one else available, maybe, and that's all they could scrape off the bottom of the cricketing barrel.
You're right, Steve.
Gump, Stevie. Am I yak? I'll be leaving. I'll be fucking on as soon as I can, mate.
Freddie, get on the plane. Off you go, Freddie.
Don't understand the bloody words you're on about, mate. Just get on and tear it over. Tear the bloody.
Well done.
A big breakfast on Triple M.